Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh is good. I tell you, shalom. It's a blessing to be sharing with you, not just those of you here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in online on iChurch, which is streaming in Spanish and in English. Hallelujah. So thank you for joining us this morning. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, you can contact us. It's our area to the right of your screen if you are on iChurch, and let us know what this ministry has done for you. If you would turn in your Bibles to Joel, and if you were a Hebrew scholar, Yoel, notice here at 3CLA, Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, we are called the Church for Truth Seekers, because we desire truth. We do not desire religion. We do not desire tradition. Or what? Denomination. But rather, we seek the truth. It's about the kingdom, and it is about truth. And so you notice that we delve into the Hebrew and the Greek, because those were the original texts. And the depth of meaning is there in those. Because the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto Yahweh, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because there's a lot of wrongly dividing out there. There's a lot of private interpretation, but it's about the truth. And so that's why we use the Hebrew. That's why we use the true Hebrew name of the Savior, Yeshua, which means that he will save and he will deliver. So that is why we go there. Somebody said, why? Because why? It don't make no difference. Oh, let me tell you, it makes a big difference. Let somebody call you by a name that's not yours. It's going to make a difference. And your first statement is going to be, that ain't my name. Those are fighting words. For some of y'all, excuse me, you've been changed. Okay, everybody in here has been changed. You're not fighting. But that is why we respect the name. We respect the truth. And that is why we do what we do. If that's all right with you, can you say amen? And then why is it that you guys are saying amen? It's amen. Well, the Hebrew word is A-M-A-N. And it means that it is confirmed. It is the truth, and I am in perfect agreement by saying that it is. So you're responding by the proper word, which is I'm on. So we've been talking about the power, the glory, the anointing. And Communion Sunday, we use a lot of time, but hallelujah, it's good. It's just that my time is a little less, but I'm gonna get over all that I can in the amount of time that I have. So if you are in Joel or Yoel, we've been talking, the second chapter, we've been talking about the power, the glory, the anointing. A lot of people go through life and never experience all of the things that are available to them with a relationship with the God that they serve. I remember one of the first big jobs that I had, corporate job, was with a toy company in El Segundo, California. And I ain't giving no marketing and no sponsorship. But they had a lot of benefits. And I started the company as a temp. And if anybody knows, when you start a company as a temp, you don't have all of the benefits. So I didn't have health. I didn't have all of the stuff. And so I had become, after a year, they made me permanent. And then I became entitled. But I didn't know what all the entitlements were. So somebody has said, oh, so have you figured out, do you have your 401k? And I said, I drive a 240SX. What's that? That was my response. There was no way with a 401k. Well, yeah, your 401k is the company matches whatever you put into it. Yeah. And I said, well, what does that mean? That means that whatever you put in, they put in the same amount. So you take out $50, they'll put in what? $50. Is it the same anymore? It changed, right? At the time I was there, they matched 100%. So I spent months, if not a year, just glad I had health insurance. I didn't know nothing about 401k. But when I found out about 401k, I was working that 401k. Then if you know anything about that, you can choose, like, if you want bonds, if you want, if you know what I'm talking about, say hallelujah. See, I got a church with folks that got benefits. Well, the kingdom is like that. There's a whole lot of stuff available to you, but if you are ignorant and don't want to know, Apostle used to say willingly ignorant, then you will not be a beneficiary of it. But if you seek the truth, if you study to show yourself approved, you will find out that you have access to unlimited benefits. Unlimited benefits. And so that's how the kingdom works. And so the thing about it is that we as believers, we have to start being educated about the benefits that are what? Did you guys know that you are beneficiaries of an inheritance? And some people think, oh, well, that inheritance is going to come later.
No.
Oh, it's right now. We can steal it. We're going to have a crown when we get to glory, but there's some stuff that he wants to open up to you right here on earth. Somebody say right now.
Right now.
So what is that? Some people think that it's prosperity. Listen, the cars and all that stuff, yeah, you know, that's not the true prosperity. I'm not coming up on here telling you that. Rolls Royce, Rolls Royce, Mercedes, Mercedes. Shut up.
Come on.
It's about balanced prosperity. Somebody just needs some peace of mind. Somebody just needs to not go crazy. Somebody needs to know that he is the comforter. He has come to give you peace. Shalom. That passes all understanding. Some of it is just in your relationships. You want to have good relationships with your family.
Well,
these folks got money off out here in different places and all these stars and stuff, but they ain't got no peace. Marriages can't even work out right. The kids is on crack and addicted and all this stuff going on. You just want to be able to have sane relationships, productive relationships where your kids is healthy, your kids is taken care of, your spouse is taken care of, hallelujah, and you're just happy. Sometimes you can't put a price on happy. If you know what I'm talking about. Just that contentment. So available to you, when we talk about the power and the glory of the anointing, all these things he has, it's in his nature. And he bestows them to us. Somebody say heaven on earth. And so why I'm talking about this is because you need to understand how the power and the anointing and the glory translate to you. We talked about the glory because that's his essence. That's his being. He's glorious. That's what comes off of him. He's almighty. He's all powerful. We talked about that. We talked about the anointing, that flow down, that ability for him to transfer what he has onto you, on us. And then when you talk about his power, the Greek word is dunamis, dynamis. That means wonder-working, miraculous power. That is not just for him, but he wants you to operate in it. So we was talking about some stuff last few weeks. So let's go to Joel. What does this mean to me? Let's find out. The second chapter of Joel, or Joel, the 27th verse. Somebody say manifest. The way he interacts with us, that he manifests himself.
Yes.
That means he shows himself. That means he demonstrates his power, his ability towards us. Anybody ever put up a prayer? Anybody ever received answered prayer? That was demonstration. That was power. Because you asked, he answered, he showed up, and he showed out, and you should have gave him the glory. And you should have gave him the praise. And you should have given him the honor. So he was like, there's going to come a time where my people are going to operate at my level. My people are going to operate in the power that and abilities that I have. And it was prophesied that this was going to take place. And so we're in that season when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, because 50 days after Passover, we celebrate Shavuot, or Pentecost, or Jubilee, which is the time of when the Holy Spirit fell. And I've been doing my bestest to not talk about Acts yet, because I still got 40-something days left. So I'm trying to contain it. But I'm going back to the Old Testament to share with you that it was already talked about. He was already prophesying and foretelling us the glory that was to come. And so that's why we are in the Old Testament now. And so he says, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, because he was talking to his people. But tell your neighbor, you his people. Yes, he was talking to Israel, but he's talking to his children, his beneficiaries. Well, you've been grafted in.
Thank you.
And so it says, you should know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And the 27th verse says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. Well, hold up. When he says, pour out my spirit, my ruah, that's a Holy Spirit in Hebrew. The ruah kodesh. That's the breath of God. And I'm going to take the same breath that created the universe and the stars, and that same power that rose Yeshua up from the dead for your sins, I'm going to take that same power. And I'm going to pour it out.
Yes, he is.
On all flesh. Well, how will we know that this happened? Because there's going to be a demonstration. There's going to be a manifestation of what I'm going to do. Because there was a time where it was only for those, the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophets, Yahweh moved upon them by his spirit, and they were able to tell the people. But there's coming a time where you don't have to wait for the prophets. I'm going to pour it out on all of y'all. And you're going to be connected. Just like, see, everybody's looking for a hookup. Ain't they, Mo? You know, you work for chicken and waffles. Everybody wants to, they, when they want chicken and waffles, they be like, hey, Mo, can you get me in? Right? Because you guys want to what? I know somebody who's like, oh, you know, we meet people in the street that we know. And it was like, oh, they, yeah, we want to go to chicken and waffles. Oh, yeah, I know a guy that can, you know, can take care of y'all. See what? Because he got truth. See, everybody want to hook up to something that's got some power to it. Now, you know, he ain't going to give you no free chicken, but he'll sit you in a nice area. I need to put that out there because somebody's looking for some free chicken and waffles. But, you know, you guys know how you are. You know somebody that fixes cars, and you know everybody's looking for a hookup. He was like, you ain't got to worry about nobody that's got the juice that hook up to me and you go to them. He was like, I'm going to pour it out on you if you want it. He said, I got all this power and I want to pour it out on my sons and daughters, say all flesh. Tell your neighbor, that's you. That's you. How we will know that this is taking place? Because your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men. So dream dreams. And I asked this before. Any old men in the house? Yes. Apostle said, I don't know any. There's going to be a man. There's going to be a shifting and a moving of power. There's going to be a demonstration of it. And your old men are going to dream dreams. Your young men are going to what? See visions. They're going to see the power. They're going to be able to tell of what Yah was doing and moving. 29th verse says what? And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. See, what he's saying, just regular folk. You don't have to have no position. You don't have to have no money. He's like, I'm going to pour out my power on you. I don't care what you got. It's not about what you got. It's what about I got. And I'm making what I have available to you. And he said, in those days. So that's why I like that he said servants and handmaids, because it's just regular folk. And he's just any regular folk in here, don't you? You're just regular, you know? He said, I'm going to give you something that's going to change your life. But he said, it's my spirit. It's my Ruha Kodesh. See, don't that even, when you hear that Hebrew word for Holy Spirit, don't that sound like it got power? Somebody say, Ruha Kodesh. The breath of God. And he's like, in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And the 30th verse says, and I will show wonders. What's a wonder? We had a definition of what wonders were, right? And that's that miraculous power. See, because the word supernatural is not in the Bible. But we said that's okay. Because we got, supernatural just means that it's above any under human and earthly understanding. And so we know that the Hebrew word for wonders says mofet. And it sounds like more faith. The word itself, you know, sounds like more faith. So if you want more power, if you want to see the wonders, if you want to see miracles happen, maybe you need more faith. Because you guys got to believe that this is going to happen. And so that's what we find out. And so he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire. Pillars of smoke. He's going to show himself. He's going to manifest himself. And so that is what we've been talking about. And so let's go to, this is where we left off last week. Let's go to Zechariah. Just give me a few minutes. I'm not going to go too much past. But go to Zechariah, the 4th chapter. Now, if you are a Hebrew scholar, Zechariah is? Zechariah. Somebody say Zechariah. And so that's Zechariah. And Yahweh's people, the people of Israel, were delivered out of Egypt Hebrew word for that is Mizraim. And he had taken them out of all these different situations. And a few weeks back, I gave you a small little history. Find it between Genesis and where we are in Zechariah. And basically, it was a system of Yahweh reveals himself, he's showing himself, he's asking his people to serve him, his people, you know, serve him for a while, and then they get disconnected because they start getting distracted about what they want to do in their flesh. Their flesh takes them out of where they need to be, right? And so it's been a system, a pattern of in and out, in and out. It sounds like what we do sometimes. Sometimes I see y'all in church. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes, you know, things is going good. And then sometimes, you know, you get swept away. And so this is the pattern. So now the people have been delivered. Yahweh's taken them through all of this tribulation. And now in this section, they've been restored back to their native land. And he's saying, I just want y'all to acknowledge me. I brought you through all this stuff. I just want you to build my temple. Come, build my temple. Put the focus back on me. But that was a fight because the people were doing their own thing. They were living in tents before, and now they had an opportunity to have roofs. And they were building their roofs. And they were so busy doing their own thing that they could not focus on the things of Yahweh. Most of y'all, I don't see nobody here living in a tent. I'm looking, everybody looks so good, so prosperous. Three-piece suits, two-piece. Ladies, the hair is just glorious. He's been good, hasn't he? Tell your neighbor, he's been good. I see he's been good. I see. A lot of times we put our focus on all of that. It's about us. And this society, that's what they teach. It's about me. You better get yours. So y'all was saying, you are nothing without me. I'm telling y'all, you're nothing without him. So you got to acknowledge where your help come from. Because then when you need help, some of you can't even help yourself. You go down on your knee. Well, I need some help now. Basically, when things are going bad, you think you got it when things are going good. But then when things go bad, you can't even help yourself. You're looking for some help that's higher than you. And so he's like, I'm trying to get y'all in a state that you always help. I always got you covered. Just keep me. He says, seek me first, and I'm going to add everything unto you. And so, here in Zechariah, you got two folks that we're talking about. Zechariah is the prophet, and Zerubbabel is the governor at the time, who his job was, he's like, let's build this temple. And it seemed like an impossible situation because the people was just focused on themselves. It's like, hey, I'm trying to get y'all's attention because you need to start focusing on him, because guess what? Judgment is coming. If you think that you had hard times before, you ain't seen nothing else.
Come on.
Nothing yet. You better get yourself together. And the prophet had to prophesy that. I'm feeling like I'm not connected. Hello? I am not connected. So, go to Zechariah 4 chapter. I just want to bring that up. So let's go to Zechariah, the fourth chapter, first verse. Okay, so it says, Yahweh revealed himself to Zechariah, because Zechariah is like, I gotta let Zerubbabel know, you know, what's up. Let the people know what's going on. And so he showed them a vision, and it says, the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that waking out of sleep. And the second verse says, and he said unto me, what seest thou? So Yahweh began to reveal himself to Zechariah in a vision.
And he says, what seest thou? And he says, and I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick. Well, this was, the word candlestick is not the precise definition of what it is, because when you think of candlestick, you think of a wax and a wick. But it's actually a lampstand in the Hebrew. So he says, I see a menorah.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Of all gold. And upon that menorah, I see a bowl on top of that. And his seven lamps thereon. And then seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top of that. And the third verse says what? And then not only that, there are two olive trees that are by it. One on the left, one on the right side of the bowl, and the other up on the left side. And somebody's saying right now, my God, what's all that? And we go to the fourth verse. We're about to find out. Hold up. See, that's why the word is so good, because you got to get into this thing. But you got to love the word enough to want to get into it. It's not just a help in times of trouble. It's a help every day of the week. Every day you need some word. You need some power delivered unto you. And so he says, so I answered and spake to the angel to talk with me, saying, what's this? And so that's what some of you guys are saying right now. What is this? And I said, he says, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. See, that's the beauty of the Savior. He says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. And if you need wisdom, he was like, all you got to do is what? Ask for it. I don't understand. Well, let me show you. And so the sixth verse says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this right here, or what you see? Let's see it. Let's see what he saw. And when we look at this graphic that we have here, we see the words actually come into being. And we see that there is, do we have it? We see that there is the lampstand, the menorah. Do you see that? And then you see the bowl on top of it. And then you see on either side is the olive tree. And the olive tree, show the next graphic of that. The olive trees, see, if y'all know anything about olive trees, that's where they got the oil from. See, some of y'all are not even paying attention to your Italian cooking because you use Crisco, Wesson, but if you want certain flavors to come out, you need to use the olive oil. So the olive oil, where do you think olive oil come from? Somebody said, I don't know. Come from the olive tree. And the olives produce the oil. And so he's saying the trees are bringing forth the oil. And the oil is going to go into the bowl, the vessel. What is that bowl? Tell your neighbor, you the bowl. And if you want anything to flow into you, you better position yourself between the olive trees. Because what is the oil? That's the anointing. That's the power. That's the Ruha Kodesh. And so many people got all these bowls, but they ain't nowhere near the oil. Some of y'all put your bowl in places that your bowl shouldn't be. Watch it. And he's saying, go to the scripture. Because he's saying, this right here, this is what you see? This is the word of Yahweh unto Zerubbabel. This right here that you're looking at, This is how my system works. This, the visual that you saw, that's my word. And my word is saying, place yourself in the source of my spirit so that I can flow into you and I can provide the oil, provide the power, provide the anointing that you're going to need to burn and to produce. And so he's like, that's my word. Unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might. And when we look at that definition of that, basically, that's your human ability.
Come on.
It's not by your human ability. It's not by your human power. But he's saying, but it's by my Ruach Kodesh, saith Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. So it's about what I can put into you. Because you in that vessel, if you're not positioned where my anointing can flow into you, you ain't gonna produce nothing. You're not gonna burn. Well, when you see the fire, what does that mean? When you see fire, what does that mean? It means that you're burning. You mean producing. That means that you hot. That means you got a source of power. But if some of y'all cold, well, I dare say if you cold and unfeeling and not operating and not generating, you're not positioning yourself up under the olive tree. You're not putting yourself up under the power of the anointing. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's interesting to know the Hebrew because the name is Zerubbabel. See, he was operating in his own power.
See.
But under the anointing, the name Zerubbabel, Zeru is a Hebrew word that means flow out. Babel is a word that means confusion. So basically, the name Zerubbabel means come out of confusion. Flow out. You gonna come out of confusion? You better set yourself in between the olive tree so you can get the anointing, because when you rely upon your own understanding, when you allow your own flesh to take over, you always in a state of confusion.
Yes, you are.
And he's saying, get my anointing. So that you can come out of your confusion, just like Zerubbabel. He says, not by power nor by might, but what? It's by my spirit. Well, how do we do this right here? Tell your neighbor, this is Yahweh's M.O. So I have to get a definition. What is M.O.? That means it's the modus. I have it on here because somebody asked me about it. And I was like, listen, let me just tell everybody. It's a Latin word. It means this is how he does stuff. It's his modus operandi. It's his methods of operation. So that's where we get M.O. And basically, if you want me to give you the urban definition, that's how he rolls. That's how he rolls. When you see, he said, that's my word. This is how we do it. This is how my word is disseminated unto you. You got to have the anointing. You got to have the power. If you don't have the power, you don't have nothing.
Come on.
Well, what does that mean? Go to Matthew 25th verse. And I'm going to have to end it here in a few seconds. But I just have to connect the dot. And that's what I love about the word is that he says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And so we're connecting these dots. And when we go to Matthew, the 25th chapter, or if you're Hebrew scholar, Matayahu, he says, this is how I roll.
Yes.
This is how I do things.
Yes.
It's not by power, nor by might, but it's by my spirit. By my spirit. By my spirit. by my spirit. And so many people are out here even now trying to do stuff under their own power. And he's saying, you can't get it done that way. You have to do it by my spirit. If you want results, I need you to follow my instructions, follow my MO, and do it according to my spirit. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Okay. I got a New Testament example of what happened to folk when they do it their way. I see red. Well, that means somebody's talking. When you see red in the scripture, Yeshua talking. So Yeshua talking about what I'm talking about right now. And Yeshua said, then shall the kingdom of heaven is likened. Urban, this is how it's like. It's like this. The kingdom of heaven is like what I'm getting ready to talk to you about. And he says, it's like 10 virgins. Not the virgins that you suppose. I have to let them know, because some of y'all just, your mind just in the curbside gutters. He's talking about clean, cleanse, just untainted. And that's what your salvation is. Right now, y'all have communion. You're clean. You're untainted. You walk in that. You got another opportunity to walk in righteousness. Right now, you in righteousness. Walk in it. Don't go outside these doors and mess up. Come on. Because the kingdom is like this. So now y'all in a virginal state. I'm just telling you the truth. Biblically. And it's like 10 of those virgins, and they took their lamps. Well, interpreted, their lamps were like vessels, kind of like that bowl that we saw earlier, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, what happened? 5 of those virgins were wise, and 5 were foolish. Well, check this out. And don't get upset because I said that this side was wise and I said this side was foolish. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But the interesting thing is that they were all virgins. Because somebody's going to try to say, well, the foolish ones was unsaved. No, 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 no. 5 was, the wise ones were saved, was believers, and the foolish ones was believers. What does that say about you? Well, take your pick. Who you rolling with? You don't know? Let me show you something. 4th verse. So it says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So their oil, their anointing, their source and the power was with them.
Thank you.
They carried it with them all the time.
Yes.
They stayed ready.
Yep.
So they didn't have to get ready. What's the difference? Well, 5 says, while the, wait, go back to 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels. Wait, go back to 3, because we skipped something. Okay. 3, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Say folk are walking around without their oil? Yes. We just said that the oil was a source of power. He said, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit. 4, but the wise took oil in their lamps with their lamps, vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. He wasn't there yet, but he was coming. And you did not know when he was coming, but you just knew that he was coming. So wisdom would say, if he's coming and I don't know when he's coming, let me be ready so that when he does come, I got my stuff together. I got my oil. I'm working in my anointing. I'm working in that power. And at midnight, why is it always midnight? I mean, is it something about late? When you get a call around midnight, something going on. Call 1 o'clock in the morning, something going on. That's why y'all don't answer the phone, right? And at midnight, there was a cry made. It says, behold. See, sometimes you don't expect him at night. He's here to tell you, I'm coming when you don't expect me. And there was a cry made, and behold, bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. And the sixth verse says, when all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, something happened. The foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil. For our lamps are gone out. Can you believe that? The foolish was like, let me have some of your anointing. Let me have some of your power. Everybody in this house, you better know, if you did not know, you need to have your own. And the wise answer saying, not so. They was like, uh-uh. I only got enough for me. That means everybody got to get their own.
Thank you.
Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them to sell and buy your own. Oh, Lord. And while they went to buy, it was still available. And they went to go get it, but when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And after they went in, the door was shut. What happened? We're going to find out next week in more detail, but bottom line was this. They were too late. Even when we leave out of here, it may be too late. Bow your head. Father, ever. We thank you for your power. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge that you give us to put us on the right track if we desire so. Everything is available to us. Your truth is available to us. Your wisdom, your grace and mercy. If we would receive it. So as we leave out from this place, but not your presence, grant us the opportunity to continue to hear from you. Minister to those that still need ministering to. That we can be ready in the day that you require from us ourselves. Our lives. We give you glory in Yeshua's mighty name. We pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Keep your head bowed. Because I need to just take a few seconds to give those an opportunity. We have talked about power. We have talked about the availability of our Savior to us. That's relationship. That's what it is. And maybe you have not allowed that relationship to take place in your life. The experience here is that of the Spirit, demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit, of power, all of the things that you see, the worship and the word going forth. It emanates from a relationship that is based under the anointing of God, Yahweh, that he is able to provide us his Spirit and we work in him. And if you want that relationship, he's saying that is available to you. Position yourselves for it. I want to provide it, but you have to want it. And you say, I want that. I know he's calling me. I know he's calling me to a stronger relationship in him. I know he's calling me. In the Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence. You are here not by any mere coincidence, but rather it is. It's ordered. If you want to establish that relationship today, you can let me know by just raising your hand and I'll pray for you. That's what we're here for an opportunity to connect to the Savior. So if you want that today, you want to establish that relationship with the Savior, raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. That's everyone, have your, keep your hip out. We're giving that opportunity. Maybe a person says, I don't have the Spirit. There should be a demonstration of the Spirit in my life, and I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, he can provide you the evidence of that. If you want that today, you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. You want that power. You want that anointing. Hallelujah. Last cause for those who say, I have been baptized and filled with the Spirit, but I drifted away. It's not close anymore. And I know he's calling me back. Well, he is calling you back. If you want to take this opportunity today to rededicate yourself, to recommit yourself, just raise your hand and we'll pray for that. For restoration. You can be restored today. For any of these things that we talked about are available to you today. Hallelujah. So let us pray. Father Yahweh, we thank you and praise you for who you are in our lives, who you are in this place, who you are in the Word, and you demonstrate that to us. We ask right now, Father, that you continue to speak to us, continue to minister to us, continue to bring us closer and closer and closer to you, Father. You hold all the answers. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Our desire is to trust you and be led by you. So allow that to take place in the lives of all these believers here. We give you the glory for it. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give you a praise this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, real quick, I know we went over. I just want to give those an opportunity who did not get a chance to plant a seed in the first offering. You came late or for whatever reason, there's an...